We've made a wrong turn, and this is a dead air episode. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast. Courtney.
Dead air.
Wait, we have a dead air. Thank you. we got Courtney on the ones and twos representing from the West Coast. I am over here stationed on the East Coast. So now we are bi-coastal podcast.
We can
mark that
off. You're Atlantic. I'm Pacific.
Boom. Two different oceans, two different temperatures.
Yeah, making me get up at 8 in the morning. Just kidding.
You said you're already up. So
I am. I'm just not normally like presentable. And then I'm always like scrambling. And I'm like, okay, I have to make this look a little bit better than just like the back of my room. And then we were joking about how it looks like I'm sitting in a teenager's cave, which is exactly true.
Have you seen other people's rooms when like, oh, it's just like, there's just like a bed and there's just like a couple of things. And they're like, oh, there's like no personality in their fucking bedroom.
Right? It's like, do you do anything?
Do you do anything? Like, come on, man. Like, can we put like a crochet kit or something? Like, hang some not like TJ Maxx art on the walls. Like, come on. Support your local artists, FYI, is what I'm trying to say. But it's after Thanksgiving. We're actually doing okay on scheduling, so we're doing okay. Thank you to everybody who's responded to the videos and has received them well, and those who have not received them well, so you cannot listen to this podcast.
You're denied.
And thank you, Courtney, for uploading all that stuff and taking care of all the social media stuff.
Thank you for doing all the other end of all the editing and listening to it. And yeah, I just get to like clip, whatever. Let me drink this Celsius.
Yeah, I just been letting the baby do it, so we're good. She's 2 months old, so she's an intern now.
Yeah, she's you gotta start young nowadays. I got it. I can edit this. And she just takes her little fingers and.
Oh, that's great! If I can get that, I'll like if I could just have like her little hands. Just
her
like
little
clicking
hands
things.
On the keyboard, and just like you know, they're just gonna be doing this because she doesn't know.
it'll be pretty spot on. Did you watch anything over the holiday break?
Well, actually, so I was in San Francisco for Thanksgiving, visiting one of my best friends in the whole world, and her and I one night watched Dreamcatcher. Because this was a movie that her and I had like seen it before and we had talked about it. And she's not a horror movie person. Like she actually gets spooked pretty easily. But she used to watch Slither with me all the time. Like,
because
Slither's a little bit more obviously funny. It's gross. Like it's more body horror gross, but it's got more humor in it. And Dreamcatcher is a little bit on that level as far as it's gross, but like it's not a good movie. And she was like, Courtney, how can you say that? She's, it's a great movie. I'm like, but it's not, but I enjoy it.
Wait, she said it's a good movie?
Yes, she likes it.
All right, hold on a second. Let's just cut back before we, let's talk about this fucking thing here because I have some history with this movie. The Dreamcatcher, 2003.
Yes,
the
you know,
Stephen
my
King.
Yes, my perfect time period in horror movies. That's the perfect time. There's no wrong movies.
But this movie was wrong. A bunch of friends go to a cabin in the woods and they all share this sort of shinning because we don't want to get sued.
We don't want to get sued, but their friend Duddits gave them shinning.
Thank you. For lack of a better term, you know, a power that they all share with their fucking mind castles. Which is a cool. All right. That part of the movie is cool.
Yes.
Done it. And then when we get later into the movie with the bad CG and then the villain, it gets a little eh.
And then the ending too, I even said it, I was like, man, I wish there was more of a fight. Like, it just kind of was like, boop, boop, over. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't remember it that way. I just remember the bathroom scene when you first, like, get to see the creatures. I was emotionally scarred from that because I know I saw it too young. That was another one that I was like, oh.
Probably one of the better scenes in the movie.
Yeah, sure. But that's what I mean. That's why I remember it.
And I was like, I forgot. Donnie Wahlberg plays Duddits.
Yeah, I was a shock to me too. I was like, whoa, Donnie Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg, where are you at?
Which is, it reminds me of like the whole thing, like you like Tropic Thunder, you never go full, you know? Like
you never go full. But he went full. Yeah. Sorry, before you go, the cutscenes with like the kids when they're younger, is it in the same universe as It? Because it's Derry, Maine or whatever, where It takes place. And the cutscenes with the kids, it looks exactly like It. And it almost looks exactly like Stand By Me, which I understand is Stephen King universe. But I was watching it and I was like, wait a second, what movie am I watching?
That's the first thing that popped up. It was actually in the core. Like as I looked up the information on this movie, like the first thing is Pennywise in Dreamcatcher. And I'm like, Stephen King uses the same towns in a lot of his
stories.
Some of them are in the same exact city. Some of them are in same cities in different universes. He has like this whole Dark Tower giant universe thing. Like he made different dimensions and stuff like that. And I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it is. It only really Stephen King is. I'm going to say it's not the same Derry, different universe.
Because these kids would have known about It if it were.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Been, I mean, yes, they would have, because the whole point of that movie is that that guy comes out and kills children, whatever.
And I think in the Stephen King universe, he has this whole thing where like certain places attract certain things in darknesses. This is so like Derry, Maine was one of those things, because they use in one of the stories, they look at a map and they look at all these little different things. And then like, this is where Pennywise was. And this is where, maybe that's a Joe Hill book. Yeah, I could be wrong. It could be his son. But he like, they like crossed the streams essentially.
But like, nonetheless, I just enjoyed watching the movie with her because she loved it. Cause she's not a big horror head like us. So she's like, this movie's great. I'm like, okay.
Well, now I feel like we should do it. now I feel like we need to talk about
now,
it.
Now
I feel
oh like shit, we need, now we gotta watch this one.
Now we gotta do this motherfucker because it looks like
I'll take notes this time because I'll go back and be like, I got things to say.
And I think I did the story a long time ago too. But like,
it's one of those things that just,
it's a short story. I think I don't even think it's that long. I could be wrong. I went through it years ago, but this movie came out when I was a senior in high school, and to date myself, and I had the FOMO because I think like my friends would go to the movies every Friday, and like sometimes I had other responsibilities, so like, and I remember they went to go see it. I'm like, oh man, you guys went to see Dreamcatcher without me? And they were like, it was the worst movie we'd ever fucking seen. They also went to see Jeepers Creepers without me. And they were like, it's the worst movie we've ever fucking seen.
Jeepers Creepers disagree.
Has made a little bit of made a bit of a resurgence. Yeah. Jeepers Creepers. But if you pay to watch something,
yeah,
it's different. Like if we catch Dreamcatcher on TV now, on TBS, we're gonna be like, it's not bad. But if you paid like $15, or I guess back then it would have been like $10 or $11. You know, to go to a premium movie theater, you know, at the nicest mall you could find on a Friday night, then you would have been so upset as a teenage jerk.
Exactly. You know? And why I want to pick up the book too is because of, I would just like to read it. And also I want to know more why it's actually called Dreamcatcher. Like, I got the gist of it with like their, and they're like being their powers and like, the one guy that like can go into his mind and like move his memories around and things like that. But I was like, I feel like this book is probably way better, which is true. Oh, but it's a good cast. Actually, it's not bad acting. Like, the acting's well done. And you got Morgan Freeman. And it's like that part of the movie too. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, Morgan Freeman showing up and being like, we got to kill everybody.
You know what's kind of weird is that, all right, so this book came out 2 years before. So Stephen King wrote the book in 2001. I guess this is just the Dreamcatcher episode now. This is like,
we're going to move into subsets. Okay, yeah, let's like, okay, do one more minute you finish.
No, he made it in 2001, and I guess it got optioned like probably immediately, because then in 2003 is when the movie got released. So that has to go 2001 and 2003 to make a whole ass fucking movie. Like,
that was quick.
Very fast. And considering a lot of his movies have sat on the shelves for years. So I don't think, out of all the books that he's written, I don't think this is one of the better ones.
Probably not. But I still want to read it.
It's more science fiction based. I mean, he does do aliens every once in a while, but like, yeah, it from when people talk about his books, this one isn't one of the top ones people talk about. But correct. I could be wrong. Maybe we got to revisit it. Maybe we can do a little deep dive between the book and the movie. Okay. Dreamcatcher. Have I been watching? Let's see.
You been watching? What did you watch over this holiday extravaganza?
No, I mean, with the baby and everything, it's been a little bit tougher. And I've also been just looking for things to watch. I started Creep Tapes. It's on Amazon with Shudder, I think. It was kind of cool. But it's, you know, the guy who made The Creep. I forgot this guy's name.
Mark Dupas.
Yes. And then, so he's got like, I kind of do like it. It's they're very simple, but it's basically like a smaller little snippets of Creep.
I think I saw a short one with one of the actors. Oh crap, I can't remember his, Josh Rubin. Josh Rubin's in one of them. And I remember him from College Humor, and College Humor was this really funny website that I loved in like high school and college, which did like all these comedy skits. And I remember he got like one of his starts from there. So it was really interesting to see him in like a different piece. And I was like, yay, look at him go.
It's kind of fun. And then you kind of know how they're all going to end, but it's kind of fucked up. Because if you watch the movies, you know, I think he does have like, at the end of the first one, he has like an editing room. I think there's a bunch of videos or whatever. And I think they're just trying to dive into a little bit more of that. Like, he's just constantly doing this. He's just a serial killer who just loves just
constantly being a fucking creep.
Yeah, ayo. The but other than that, you know how you like your TV has like free channels and like they're all categorized, so there's all like this horror movie and sci-fi ones, and I just been having those on repeat in the background as we're taking care of the baby sometimes. She's not watching them, but you know, or they have them on the headphones really low, and it's just like,
you don't think the she's most watching
bonkers them. No, she's not, because my sister was just like, she better not be watching that shit. She's not watching it. She can't even see a foot in front of her face. She's not watching the fucking TV. But they have the weirdest fucking movies. There's like a pulp one, and they play like the most like best B movies that I've ever come across. And they're just constantly playing. One's called Alter, one's called like Haunt, one's called like Fear Zone. And of course, they have like the Walking Dead channel or whatever. But I'm like finding all these like really weird, interesting movies. Like last night, they played The Quiet Earth. I think it's just like a British movie, which is basically kind of like a play on like The Last Man on Earth. I think it was in the 80s. Some scientist messes with some frequencies. Everybody disappears on Earth. The beginning of the movie is really, really interesting because he's just like enjoying being by himself. And as he has like this mental collapse because he realizes he's the only person like left on the earth. Like all the power goes out like simultaneously. Oh. And it's just really, really well played. He tries to commit. Then he just like, he gets so lonely. He starts putting on a dress and he starts looking at himself in the mirror. And then the first part of the movie I think is really, really interesting. And then what's it gets a little bit more. Again? The Quiet Earth. From 1985. Oh, so it's just gonna hit 40 years. October 18th, wow. My friend's birthday. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And like, of course, the posters. They kind of ruin it with the poster a little bit. It's kind of giving it away a little bit. But and then it gets a little bit more like a little bit more streamlined and stereotypical as like it develops a little bit, but it's 1985, you know. Yeah. It was really the first half is, as a lot of movies, the world building is really, really fun. And what else did we watch? And some really bad ones too. Somebody made a crossover with Grim. Oh man, this one's more recent, like early, like mid 2000s or 2000s aughts or whatever. Was it? It's they crossed Grim Fairy Tales with the Avengers, so it's called Grim Avengers.
Okay, that's not for me, but explain.
It's awful. It's fucking awful. And I'm just watching this on subtitles because it's muted for the baby's sake. And
yes,
and she's sleeping, and it's just like Snow White and Little Red Riding Hood, and Red Riding Hood's the archer, and Little Snow White's the queen, and they've all come across the earth and they're fighting the big bad wolf and some guy named Iron Joe, which I think they made up, which is Lou Ferrigno from the Hulk TV show, and it's just fucking random shit.
Iron
Oh, not Joe. To mention, wait. There's a sequel. Grim Avengers.
It was in demand. People was like, I need more of this.
Oh, yeah, and they shot it, like, in a bunch of parking lots in L.A. because that's how big the budget is. It is a very small budget.
Just go to a parking lot.
Oh, my God. You're like, you could see, like, this is just downtown L.A. and this is just a parking lot. And they put some plastic wrap on the fences and they make it look like it's the apocalypse.
Oh,
like,
for no. Some reason,
for some reason, plastic wrap on fences means the apocalypse, and I don't know why. But the sequel, which I kind of want to see now, Grim Avengers, Time Wars.
Time Wars.
I want to be.
Which parking lot will you be in now?
Oh my God, this parking lot's 1967.
Oh. You can tell because the plastic wrap is blue or something. It's like a tarp.
I was going to say racist. this is back when they had cotton tarps. Oh man, all right, whatever.
Oh Jesus.
But no, I'm finding a lot of interesting stuff. What was it? The one random thing is that sometimes you can watch a movie on silent and you can sort of pick up how the movie's playing out, and you're just reading the subtitles and you can just like pick up every 5 minutes, be like, all right, I know what's going on in the movie. I can't do that with the Japanese ones. They just play like Japanese ones are playing in the back and they're fucking bonkers. I was watching.
I couldn't either. After the Quiet Earth. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Really need to pay attention. No, you really do need to pay attention.
Especially when it's in a different language. Cause whenever I watch foreign language movies, always watch them in their intended language with English subtitles.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Cause you want to pick up on like good context and like pronunciation and mm-hmm. The way people say
the way they their
the word, affliction okay.
Their body language is like it's a little different with their own language, and so you need that you it's need integral. To hear that within their own language.
So they're playing The Grudge 2, and I just can't get a fucking grasp on like the format of that movie and how it was playing out, and it just seemed bonkers. I think the first part I was able to pick up, because I think it kind of plays out like a regular movie. People come across these other people who've come across these ghosts and stuff like that. But after that, it kind of goes off the fucking rails. And I don't know who the fuck is who. Which characters are we talking about? All I know is I just see things end and I'm like, but who the fuck was that person? One was kind of cool. to give it away, I don't know if you're ever going to watch it, and this movie's like 30 years old now, but there was one close. You're following a character. It was really, really cool. Like, you're following one character around, and they see another character collapse, and they're going over there to help, and then they reach out to the other character, they touch them, and then they realize they're not there. Very Sixth Sense. They realize like they're the ghost the entire time. And I'm like, ooh, that was kind of cool, because we've been following this character for a while.
Yeah.
And then and it was kind of weird. And then the Grudge Ghost kind of like takes them away randomly. I don't know. And there's a lot more Grudge Ghosts. But yeah, so that was that. That's kind of cool. Just playing it out in the background. One's called Alter. What was the other one called? I can't remember. And I feel like we could probably watch these like online. But yeah. But with that, we're going to segue on to...
Yes. The Substance.
Bring us in, Courtney.
I finally watched it, and I know that you saw right when it came out, but I loved it. Loved it. Like,
I didn't want to overhype it for you. I kept it very low key. I knew you were gonna fucking dig this movie. I fucking dug this movie.
Okay, good. See, all right. See, you were like, oh yeah, da 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 da, which is good. Good for you to do that to me, because I had to go in twice. I rented it, so I was like, okay, I can watch this again, because I slept on it and I thought about it. I was like, I need to go back and watch this again. Like, this movie fucking ruled.
They did really, really fucking well with this job. Like, I was watching it and I was just like, oh man, it's been a while since I watched like a good indie movie like this. It felt very unique and very unusual. And the fact that Demi Moore was just like, dude, when's the last time you see her in anything?
And I only read like a little bit about how apparently she wasn't the director's first choice. And Demi Moore would kind of like really was like, I want to do this, like based on Demi Moore's own experience in Hollywood as a young woman and being like center attention and Hollywood star and how she felt about her own body. And so that's why she's like, I want to do this role. Like, and God, she killed it. And does she looks amazing. I remember when you were like, she's fully naked, but like, that's not, who cares about that? But she's like, it's part of the part, and she looks stunning. Like, I'm like, I hope I still look like her.
Still looks good. Which is kind of weird. It's kind of like the whole standard that we have for fucking beauty,
where you're like,
and popularity.
Why does this woman want to feel like that? Because
100%, like
the pressure of this industry, the pressure of Hollywood, and I also like the little touch of Dennis Quaid just being called Harvey. That's his character's name. It's Harvey.
I didn't pick up on it the first time around, and I'm like, ooh.
We know what you did there.
Yeah. That was like, I mean, but then again, the movie's not subtle, so it doesn't have to be.
It's not subtle at all.
The movie is very in your face. And this is a fucking body horror fucking movie. Like, when's the last time?
Horror.
When's the last time you saw Demi Moore in anything? When's the last time you saw a body horror fucking movie? Just
like
balls to the fuck. Because you can't. Maybe you could be subtle with the body horror movie, but.
But I don't want a subtle body horror movie.
It's, yeah, they went there. They fucking went. They made it super fucking horrific. And every part, like even from the fucking beginning, like, all right, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the fucking movie.
Yeah, it is being spoiled as of right now, because we're talking about it.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes, a budget $15 million, something like that. It's already made $50 million in the box office. I think it's only going to make more as people rent this movie because it's doing fucking gangbusters. Or it's just a very high reception for the movie. It might make its... after marketing, it might make its movie back. I mean, its money back, excuse me. But right now, it's got a lot of word of mouth power. And like I said, I think maybe that's why you thought I didn't like it, The only criticism I thought it was just a little long, but indie movies tend to be like that, where it's just like there's just more story to tell, you know? Like, we're not going to edit it down for the audience's sake.
I guess you could say it was a little long, because when I did the second watch, there were parts of it where I was like, okay. But still, like, I was watching, I don't know, I enjoyed it, and I'm going to definitely buy it. I think I might just go back and buy it on Prime now, because I, like, it was just so good. It's good. Been a while since I've, like, sat down and been like, oh, wow, like.
It had you. It had, like.
It had
like,
me.
It just the fucking anxiety it fucking gave me as the characters kept fucking going. What was it, Sue?
Yes.
Yeah,
I remember what you said now. When we were first talking about it, you were like, I think the one thing you said, you're like, there are so many opportunities for Demi Moore, basically that character, Elizabeth Sparkle, to get out of this. Like, there's many opportunities for her to be like, you know what, I'm done. But she just doesn't. It just escalates.
She makes her, I mean, both characters. Both big characters can tone it down a little bit. There could, all right. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
The Substance, 2024, a movie by Coraline Farget. I can't remember, I know if I'm pronouncing the name properly. Most notably known for the movie Revenge, which I don't know if you've seen that one on Shudder. It's actually a pretty dope
film. I need to know, though, but I have not.
I think it's Australian. It's a fun little, like, one location setting. You know how I feel about
those. I like those.
Very entertaining movie. And I had no idea that they had done, From the Substance had done that. Demi Moore plays a aging movie star
Hollywood known as Elizabeth Star.
Hollywood movie star, basically, like top tier Elizabeth Sparkle, who runs a aerobics TV show on Dennis Quaid, aka Harvey's broadcast channel, and it's her birthday, and she's basically aging out as they think she is too old, even though all the audience and us are just like, she looks fucking phenomenal, you know, because we know movie stars don't age like regular people. Mm-hmm. They, you know, and then she gets a hold of this sort of black market thing that could basically make her young again, a la Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a la Death Becomes Her, you know, like, I feel like if you're going to do Death Becomes Her, like, you need to, like, really do something different like this. You can't just do the regular story, you know.
No, it goes, like, way darker, but it's like, it's a la Death Becomes Her, like you said, but it takes it to the next level.
Yeah. So then she gets a hold of this black market substance called The Substance, and allows her to become the best version of herself, as she basically spawns a superior version of herself out of her fucking back, which that's what I fucking blew my mind the first time I saw it. Fucking creeped me the fuck out.
I did not know that was going there. I was like, of course I'm super interested. I was like, hey, how's this going to go down? How are we getting this? And I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
ooh. You could have done it so many other ways by not showing stuff. Like, you could have done, anytime you could have done magic tricks, right? Like, oh, you know, she, like, falls off camera and then she switches back and it's, you know, it's Sue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they fucking went there, like, fucking, because it's fucking gross. She fucking really comes out of her fucking back. And then, as she becomes her best version of herself, she has to, like, they have to have this sort of equilibrium where they can only spend a week at a time as each other, or else the balance goes awry and they can't live without each other.
The whole thing is, of course, if you take one from the other. So, like, when she is talking to, because the guy who runs this black market substance thing, you only ever hear his voice on the phone and you have a number. Like, so he doesn't give you the fuck who you are. You have a number. And then he's just like, so whatever you take from one body goes to the next. So it's like, if Sue wants to take more, like, from Demi Moore, it affects how Demi Moore looks. And then if Demi Moore treats her body like shit, it affects how Sue looks. And I just, because they have to remember that they are one person. It isn't two different people.
And of course, egos take place and shit goes a fucking awry, which is weird because I was watching something, and it seems like they are two different people because they have like no real gauge of like what the other person is doing.
That was the one part that got me a little bit, where I was like, I thought they had a little bit more of an understanding that they were the same person, but then there's like, I guess not, they are two separate people.
Yeah.
But so they know exactly what to do. They know exactly what has been done as far as like them taking the substance and how to maintain this every week we switch, da-da-da-da kind of thing.
Oh, and I also like how it's not baby birded to you. It's not they let you figure stuff out on your own as they show it to you. Nothing's explained. Demi Moore gets the package. Elizabeth Sparkle gets the package, and you're like, "What the fuck is that?" And she sort of just figures it out. There's no instructions to read. You know, they could have done this whole thing there, but she's just kind of like plugging things along with you. And oh, you're like, God. I was like, I guess I take this. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, dude, Edgar, as a chronic overthinker, I mean, the instructions are very clear on the note cards, right? It's like this, this, this. If that were me, I would overthink the shit out of that. I'd fuck it up. I would be a deformed little blob from the beginning. Like, I would not... they just go right into it and knew exactly what to do. I was like, I would not.
No, 100%. No, I totally would have fucked that up. But I'm like, I would have used the applicator completely different fucking. But it's like I said, it's not spoon fed to everybody, which is great.
Yeah.
Even though we were like talking about like, well, we needed a spoon fed because we're stupid.
But I just, as an overthinker, I'm like, I get the instructions are clear, but I would be calling that guy like, hey, so she's going to come out of my back and then I got to sew it up. Or if I don't sew it up, do I get an infection? Like, what the fuck happens?
Like, dude, yes. Oh my God. 100%. Exactly. I forgot about that part. That's so like, she's just like, oh, I guess I just sewed this up. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, it's fucking... But yeah, so I'm like, but in my head, like, if you're not sharing the same experiences, then what's the point of, you know, being that better self? Then you literally just spawned a better version of yourself. That person gets to go live their life 1 week at a time at their fucking peak, and then you're just sedated for that week, and then you don't get to share in any of those experiences. So then, right, what the fuck's the point?
Yeah, exactly. And you have to do that for the rest of your life, unless you decide to cancel the substance, which is a thing. Like, it is a thing. Like, he's like, if you want out, you can get out, but you are stuck exactly like the way you look.
Oh my God. So, needless to say, shit goes awry. That's what gave me the most anxiety was Margaret Qualley's character just keep upping it the time and just taking from Demi Moore, just sucking her, literally sucking her dry. The whole back thing, just taking the food from her fucking bear marrow in her fucking back. Oh, fucking creeped me out. Gave me very Requiem for a Dream vibes, fucking shooting up in the fucking arm you're not supposed to. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
That was
and then like the transition of Demi Moore as Margaret Qualley is doing that, like her just aging and become decrepit and like it's like bones breaking. It's just gross.
The only thing I could think about is that maybe for Liz Sparkle, it was like a drug. Like the fact that there was a version of her that was living her fucking peak, and that's why she kept going back. That's the only thing about. Because once you start losing like you know, the fucking dexterity in your hands because they're sucking you dry. Well, like, I would have fucking cut it there. But, you know, but like, this movie needs, we need a movie. So things need to go.
100%.
Need to keep going. Yeah. But yeah, that's the only really thing. That's the only thing I could really think about as to give it to. Like, it must have been a fucking a rush for her to think about that. That was the, you know, the only thing. But yeah. Well,
you said it correctly earlier. It's ego driven. These women are ego driven. And especially in Hollywood, in this industry, I can see how that would happen to someone. But, and that's like the great example of Margaret Qualley's character too, why she keeps going in it. Like, no, cause that's her whole thing. She's like, I'm sexy. I'm hot. I have a hit TV show. I'm the star of the, you know, New Year's Eve tonight or whatever. Like, I'm the best. And that's exactly your fucking attitude when you're 22.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I'm hot shit. You're not like,
yeah, I'm hot shit. You're not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. But yeah, it does. It
doesn't matter that I need you to fucking survive, that I rely on you for, to get by week to week, but just takes it to a completely different level. I do like when she, Liz Sparkle, does try to get rid of her and how it backfires. And then, yeah, right? Is that what?
Cause that, yeah, it backfires. Well, Liz Sparkle tries to give her like the canceling whatever serum, like to kill, basically to kill Margaret Qualley, and then leaving Demi Moore as is, like this decrepit, nasty old crone. But she can't do it. But she can't do it because she's because again, the ego gets in the way. She's like, oh my God, no, you're a big star. You have to. But this is the moment where they see each other. Like, they are face to face, like the fight or whatever you want to call it. Like, because normally one's always passed out, like one, or one's, you know, in a coma for a week or whatever. And now they're actually face to face. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, it's great. Like, they both, it's just like, it's like fucking roommates who like have different schedules. They're like, one left the fucking dishes in the fucking sink. They didn't clean up after themselves.
Yes.
And the disgust they have. Cause I've definitely had roommates where I'm just like, you come across their fucking mess and you're like, motherfucker, dude.
Yeah. Wash your fucking dishes.
Wash your fucking dishes. But then, yeah, when that fight ensues, I can't remember correctly then, because it's been like a month or so since I've seen it. They wake up, spoiler alert, Sue kills
Demi Liz Moore.
Sparkle, right?
Yeah,
Sparkle, right?
Yeah.
And then she still has her New Year's Eve hosting gig.
Yes.
But she still needs Liz to survive after they're separated, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that what's going on? Okay.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, she kills Liz, but she still needs, like, Liz's body to keep her young. But since Liz is dead, she just tries to go back to work. And, do you remember the scene where her teeth fall out?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that was truly a cringe moment for me. Only because I'm one of those people that have those, like, teeth falling out dreams. I haven't had one in a while, but like, I've definitely been there. And so like, just that visual, like I went like this. I was like, I know what's happening and I can't do it. Like,
supposedly that's like, that means whatever. Cause my sister gave me a dream book once and
yeah, also there's a meaning to it. Like, you are concerned about your health or something, or along that line.
You have something to say, you know, that you can't say or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, basically you're trying to tell the truth. Or you have something on your back that you really, that's really on your mind that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Something or other. I could be wrong.
Then,
I mean, dreams are interpretation.
Dreams are wild. Sue's character thinking like, oh, I got to get out of this. There's a little bit of the substance left in like the vial that Demi Moore had in the beginning.
The activator.
And of course the directions say one time use, throw away after you're done, which no one did. And so Sue has the bright idea. We're like, oh, I'll just take it myself and we'll regenerate a new person and all will be well. And like, this is where you're thinking like, this is a dumb little fucking idiot. Like what does she think's going to happen? Like, even if it worked, let's say it worked, right? It would generate a brand new person who would not be Sue and who would not be headlining this New Year's Eve thing. Like, fair. Right. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Ego driven. She's just like, I have to be ready for my night. And that's when
she's trying anything. She's grasping hard.
And that's when we get body horror to like the most incredible thing. I went back and watched it a few times because I wanted to look at every single little detail of this thing. Cause you've got Demi Moore's face on the side of it, like screaming and like, and it's just like she still puts on her gown because she's like, I have to look beautiful for my event. And you're just like, holy God, fucking shit.
That was so good. When the
tapes a face of Elizabeth Sparkle on her face because she's like, no, I'm beautiful. I'm me. Because it is still Elizabeth Sparkle, right? This is still Elizabeth Sparkle. That's the point of this. Like,
and it's just a metaphor for like, you know, how people keep taking plastic fucking surgery over and over again.
I think so.
And they look fucking horrendous, you know? That's just my opinion. I don't think so.
No, but that's my take on it too. Like, you see people our age, even younger than me, getting Botox and they can't smile. Like, this is their smile.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like where do you, like, I am looking forward to aging.
But I am smiling.
I'm very happy right now. Yeah. I'm looking forward to aging. I think aging shows that you've lived a life and that you've experienced things. Like, okay, I have wrinkles. And if someone doesn't like those fucking wrinkles, well, fuck you. Like, it's, yeah, I don't know. But in this town, it's hard.
Good thing I don't have to deal with it. I only live in, you know, I only live in the other plastic surgery capital of the world.
It's hard when you're trying to make a living, I guess, with your image like that. Dude, but the ending though, metal and blood. I said that. It's like metal and blood. I remember I was just the first time watching it, as soon as the metal started playing and it was just blood spurting in the audience, I was like, oh fuck yeah. Like, oh fuck yeah. I'm like eating popcorn now. I was like, wait, this is great.
And she like the last minute of it, how it just comes full circle, like she ends up back on the star. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking up at the stars randomly and I'm just like, she's only like a piece of fucking flesh that just fucking slugged over. I'm like smiling. I'm just like, holy shit, we fucking went there. Like, she's Demi Moore is a fucking piece of slug flesh. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, nice.
Yeah. Nice. And then she just dies and then gets cleaned up the next day. And it's like, hey, welcome to Hollywood. You will be forgotten in 24 hours.
Yeah. It was good. 100%. But yeah.
Like, people will remember this incident for a couple days and then whatever. On to the next.
Yeah. Well, okay. What else do you want to say about it before we?
I think my only critique, I guess, is like we kind of touched on it, is the whole the disconnect of whether or not they were aware of one another. I mean, they were, but it there are some parts where I kind of thought that we would see a little bit more of Demi Moore in Margaret Qualley because it just felt like a completely separate person sometimes. And I thought that maybe there was going to be a little bit more of like, oh no, this is like the younger version of Demi Moore, but she doesn't look like that. But then again, I'm glad it didn't do that towards the ending. I was like, okay, no, I get why the story played out that way. Also, I love the old guy in the diner. He's one of my favorite characters. He was just sitting there and he's like, he's like, has he started to eat away at you yet? And he just starts laughing. I was like, this guy's like, fucking kooky as fuck. I love it.
And then I think for a second, like, we thought like everybody at the
diner was one of them.
The substance. Yeah. Which is kind of fucking weird. But then again, it's just like one of those things about like drug use or fame, how it is like a drug where it's just like, you just keep going back. Like she was warned several times.
Several times.
She can't, there's a lot of close calls where she could have stopped, could have lived the life that, you know.
That's a great take on it. Just like substance abuse. Substance abuse. Hey. Not
bad. Full circle.
Full circle. She was substance abusing.
Basically.
Yeah.
The only, like, the things in the substance, like the little plastic things, little vials,
you have to, what is it? Where's the word? Stabilize. That she has to stabilize every day.
It reminded me of an Eon Flux episode where, there's a surgery episode, I think, where like one of the main characters, I forgot this guy, the main character's name, I think his name is Trask or something like that. He's operating on one of the characters, and they do like this brace in the back that has like a little fluid in the character's back, and it looks like a capsule just like that. So it gave me that vibe a little bit. And the whole thing where they kind of abuse it, or they take it out and they take it for granted, and then at the end of it they're kind of left, you know, in a worse place.
That's cool.
Then they started.
But
it looks exactly like it. So weird. I wonder if they got inspiration from it. I was wondering.
Maybe. But I also want to say too, like, it came at a really interesting point too for me to watch this movie. And you know how like there's a lot of spine talk, like especially in the beginning, and like, you know, the Sue comes out of Demi Moore's spine and all that. I've been working on my posture. Like, I've been doing a lot of like spine stretches. Like, I have a foam roller now because I'm just trying to just be better with my posture and like take care of myself. Like, that's just general. And I know that's kind of the point of this movie too. It's like, have you been taking care of yourself? And I just thought it was really interesting where I was like, man, I've been doing a lot of spine work recently. And I think it's funny that I was like watching this movie.
Fair. Yeah. If anything, like the, you know, movies just like, don't take what you have for granted. You're probably better than you think you are. 100%. Oh, those foam rollers are great. Like, I use it for my back because a lot of knots in my back.
Yeah, I know. Posture, my posture has improved. Like, sleeping. I can tell that I'm standing better and, like, you know, pushing out my rib cage more and things like that. And it feels great. Like, at first it hurts, but then you're like, ooh.
No, it's the only other, like, I could only do it if I have like a deep tissue massage. And I had one once. Had this lady walk on my back. She had a pipe that was hanging from the ceiling. She hung on it like this, and she walked on my back, and it was like the best thing ever. I was crying out, yelling, and she's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "This is amazing. Thank you."
You're like, "Yes."
I was going, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yes, keep going, please."
You're like, "Please, please."
My back hurts so much. you're doing a good job, I promise. Legit.
Yeah. Like, literally, I've been laying on the foam roller like the long way on my spine because it stretches it the other way, because like we're so used to hunching. Obviously we hunch because, you know, on computers or whatever, sitting, but so it stretches your spine the other way. And holy shit, did it, when I first started doing it, hurt like a motherfucker, but now it's my favorite thing to do. I'm like, oh no, I feel great. Like, you just got to work your body. And so the consensus of this entire movie is, are you taking care of yourself? Please be taking care of yourself, everyone. Like,
yeah, you could take that one. You could take it away. Yeah. You can take that away. Yeah. 100%. All right, guys. Well, that was our high recommendation on The Substance. We don't even need it to say anything. Like, this movie's doing its own rounds. It's doing its own thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't need us to say.
So it is on Amazon Prime. I recommend it. It's only $6 to rent, but buy it. Honestly, I think I'm going to go buy it. because I want to watch it. Yeah,
it's probably going to, I think they're going to hold out until after the holiday, and then it's probably going to go to streaming on something because I think they just want to.
Or wait, but I loved it.
But it's worth it. No, 100%. $6 isn't that much to rent this movie. Mm-mm. It's only $6?
To rent.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's worth it for six. But you know what I don't like about the rentals? Rentals are only like 48 hours now. Like,
I know it sucks. So, and it's for, you get it for 30 days, but once you start watching it, it's only 48 hours. So if you rented it and then waited a week, but still, that's why I watched it twice. I watched it one night and then I was like, well, I have to watch it again.
That's such bullshit because like, all right, at least give me, I don't know. Give me 7 days to rewatch it. And then, like, give me 30 days to have it. Give me 7 days to watch it and rewatch it. And then you can take it. You're going to take it back anyway. Like, it's on, it's automated. Like, the 2 day thing is such bullshit because then, like, I'm forced to watch it, you know, rewatch it right away. That's quickly so silly.
Quickly, I know. I was a little annoyed at that too because, like, also I was at work and, like, in it. It's 48 hours exactly. So I had to make sure that I got home from work earlier so I could start it in order to make my 48 hours. Because by the time I finished watching it, my rental was done. But it let me finish watching the movie.
And I forgot. The only ever issue I had was that I rented something and then it went on sale the next day and it canceled my 48 hours because it was a new price. And I had to go.
Yes.
I had to email them because I wanted to rewatch it and I couldn't within those 48 hours because the fucking price had changed. And I was like, it nullified whatever the fucking rental. It was just stupid. But whatever.
Neither here nor there. Yeah. But
first world problems. All right.
That's it for this dead air. We ramble, we yap, but we thank you for listening.
Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll try to do one for Christmas. We'll try to do a special app for Christmas. It might not be Christmas themed though. Maybe it'll just be snow themed.
Yeah. We have to sit down and discuss.
We've been doing this for a little bit, so I'm just like, everybody's doing Christmas, you know?
Yeah, maybe we'll do Dreamcatcher. There's snow involved.
There's snow. That's why I was just like, maybe it just needs to be snowy.
Maybe it just needs to be snow. And there's lots of movies with snow.
Fair. All right. Talk to you guys later. Have a wonderful day.